Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello and welcome to the Outbreak Podcast, where we will be bringing you regular dispatches from artists who have played the festival, interviews, live podcasts at the event, and so much more. First off, we cannot thank you enough for the support of the actual event that happened and also this podcast. I'll be the first to say that it was an incredible time this year and something that I know that myself and many other attendees of the festival won't soon forget. I know it may seem trite to speak about a festival like that, but it is the absolute truth. We are very excited to bring you our first live conversation from the festival. The first one is quite a doozy, and it's with Jem, the vocalist from Speed, who unquestionably had one of the best sets the entire weekend. If you have any feedback you'd like to share, you can always email the show, podcast@outbreak-fest.co.uk. There will be a very simple link in the show notes where you can click on that and email any sort of feedback. Please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts and just rate it on Spotify. We plan on releasing episodes every 2 weeks, but if you subscribe and follow, then you will never miss an episode. Special shout out to one of our sponsors at evilgreed.net. They are one of the leading providers of web store solutions for record labels and bands. But you as the consumer can benefit from going to evilgreed.net and checking out their entire offerings. They work with a lot of bands that play Outbreak and are part of the family, so to speak. So go check out evilgreed.net and see all of the amazing merch and vinyl and everything they have to offer. So here's the conversation with Jem from Speed. They're waiting for you, Jem.
Yo, thank you so much. That's crazy. That's crazy. What's up, everybody? Fuck it.
Well, my name is Ray Harkins. I'm the host of the Outbreak podcast, and I encourage all of you to subscribe to it. I'm not going to make you pull out your phones right now. You've heard me make this joke before if you've watched another chat, but please subscribe to it because that's what we'll be publishing this thing on and many other things. But Jem, I'm very excited to speak to you because, well, let's give it up for Jem again because that's what we do.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, first of all, do you want a water?
Sorry, say that again.
Do you want a water, Jem?
You know, I'm ready.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
I'm lubricated.
Probably, yeah. Hydrated, lubricated, yes. Well, I am very excited to speak to you. First of all, great set. You guys brought it, as the kids say.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you.
I can say kids because I have a 12-year-old child myself. So,
dude, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yes, okay. I am a father. That's good.
I want one someday. So that's mad.
Hey, you know, you can do it. You can do it.
I hope so.
I'm confident.
I think it works. Yeah.
I wasn't questioning your sperm count, but thank you.
Yet to find out.
Yeah, maybe that would be kind of weird if we just did that test right here. Yeah, but we don't need to do that. That's neither here nor there. Anyways.
It's been this is already going great. It's been awesome to, and I know why there are so many people here as well, to watch you guys, you know, basically break out on the world stage. Like after Sound and Fury last year, that definitely felt like all of a sudden people were like, yo, like, have you heard that band Speed? Did you see that video? Like, everybody collectively, like, opened their eyes at that point. When, I mean, I'm sure it took you a couple of days after to kind of start processing, like, wow, there are people that are paying attention to us. Like, how quickly did you notice? Like, was it literally after the set where you're like, I did not expect that? Like, how was that for you?
On the topic of, like, this kind of experience that me and my friends in Speed are going through, like, every single day I'm trying to process what is happening in our lives and I'm trying to stay present. Like here, being here right now, I'm trying to be present to absorb this because we've been going to shows for so long, Ray. Like we're just hardcore kids, you know what I mean? And everybody who's listening, everyone who's here right now, you just got to understand we're just straight up hardcore kids, man. Like we're fans, you know? I'm a fan of UK hardcore, bro, like fully, you know what I mean? It's an honor to be here amidst bands like this Demonstration of Power, Despise, Last Wishes, all the bands on Quality Control, like, we're fans. When we go to LA, we're fucking fans. That's the mecca, you know what I'm saying? We're from Sydney, Australia, which is not a... Thank you. Thank you. We're from Sydney. Thank you. Yeah, fucking hell, that's it. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We're from literally Sydney, Australia, and like, we've had some incredible bands and that have come out from Australia, but to be honest, like, not many bands have really broken out in the way that it feels like we have, and it's something that is kind of hard to put to words because, like, it's not even a dream, like what's happening. Like Sound and Fury wasn't even a dream, like because I never dreamt that that would be possible with hardcore. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's hardcore is this selfless thing that you're in it because for the passion. Like you don't in it to get fame or to get like money or like anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like 50, 100, 250 kids rock up, they spin kick each other, buy some merch, go out, eat ice cream on the pavement after. Like that's what hardcore is to me. You know what I'm saying? Like so
totally.
So Sound and Fury is like, what? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
why are we even here?
It was our 15th show at Speed. I'm not trying to flex. I'm just trying to say, like, that's not normal for... I've been playing in band since I was 15. I'm fucking 30, you know what I'm saying? So this is not normal, you know what I mean? Like, so it's... The only response to all of this is just straight up gratitude and disbelief. But then also just an overwhelming kind of, like, response to be like, if you fuck with what we're doing, like, at Speed, just please check out what all our friends are doing back in Sydney, back in Australia. Because it's similar to, I think, the experience that probably a lot of people have here. A lot of your friends will be so talented. Like, people are seeing what's happening with Northern Unrest now in Glasgow. Like, that's some of the freshest, like, moshing, the freshest bands I've seen in a long time. Like, who knew about Glasgow hardcore that much, like, 5 years ago, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's doing their own part for many years, and now the world's kind of opening their eyes and being like, holy shit, hardcore is so sick in other parts of the world, and it's a beautiful time to be a hardcore kid.
Yeah, no, you put it eloquently, and I think that I mean, to be honest too, I think your age has a lot to do, like you're talking about being in the moment. Like, you know, when you're 17 years old and you're like, if you experienced Speed when you were 17, you probably would be an idiot. I mean, honestly, like you just wouldn't be, and I mean that, you know, sort of tongue in cheek, but just like, you probably wouldn't be prepared to be like, thank you. Like that gratitude that you express.
Straight up, like, I think like all the time, like, you know, Dennis and Kane, they play in Relentless. They toured for like 10 years. Like I played in other bands before this. We toured for like 10 years. This is my fifth tour in Europe. Yeah. This is the fifth time I've toured Europe, but Speed's first ever time. I've never experienced anything that was like a fraction of the experience I've had in the last 10 days. You know what I mean? Like, I think like, I wasn't meant to be, like, Speed was meant to be a band that started to keep the wheels turning on Australian hardcore. Like, our friends are running the shows back home and booking the stuff and putting out the records. There weren't enough bands to play a Sydney hardcore show, you know what I mean? Like, we started Speed to do that. I wanted to do a band with my brother and I wanted to sing in it. My brother doesn't even know how to play an instrument. That's why he plays bass. You know what I mean? Like, Speed's not meant to be here right now. It wasn't in the trajectory of our lives. Like, I'm meant to be at home. You know what I mean? Like doing my taxes, washing dishes, having a wife and like, you know, doing that thing. I'm not meant to be touring at the age 30, but at the same time, I'm so grateful that it's happened now because it's a crazy thing. And I feel like I would have made so many stupid decisions with navigating this band, you know, if it happened when I was 17. You know
totally.
I mean?
No, yeah. And I think that this actually goes into the next question I was going to ask where you from, I mean, obviously I met you 2 minutes ago, but knowing what I know about you, what you present and what you publicly put out there, you are a very enthusiastic human being. Like you're pumped. And has that like always been you? Have you always been that, hey, yeah, let's go? Like, has that always been you?
I think it's definitely part of my and Aaron's DNA. Like, we describe my dad as like Chinese Ned Flanders. So like, there's definitely a little bit of that in me for sure. But I mean, like, it's a gift. Like, as I said, like, I think I just explained, like, this is hardcore music. Like, I'm here. We just played a set in front of 6,000 hardcore kids in Manchester.
Yeah.
I'm from Sydney. You know what I mean? Like, it's the best shit ever. Like nothing it was expected like of this. Like, this sure. It's a selfless thing. You know what I mean? Hardcore. Like, this is the best thing ever. Of course I'm going to be G'd on it. You know what I mean?
Like, right. You can't help but be enthusiastic. But like, yeah, I was just making sure that enthusiasm was tracking throughout your whole life. Now you can just be extra enthusiastic because you're experiencing all this.
For sure. I mean, this is our lives. Like, this is our lives. Like, we just...
Yeah.
We go to shows. We spin kick. We make merch. We just do these silly little projects with our friends. We go home. We watch sets on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Like, probably all of you guys probably also go home and you have your YouTube set up and you're on your couch and you're just doing this and that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, that's the same thing that we do.
Same thing. Yeah. There's no difference. The, like you were talking about with Australian hardcore, I'm an old human being older than you. And it's like the first band that really captured, you know, sort of national or worldwide attention, like a band like Parkway Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you know, maybe to a much smaller degree, like Miles Away. What it seems like you are doing, obviously, with the platform that you have with Speed is, like you were just talking, you were literally naming off, you know, 10 bands, like not only in Australia, but worldwide. But it seems like you really take the responsibility of trying to be the flag waver of Australian hardcore. Like, you take that seriously.
Of course, because we've recognized that our friends are so talented for so long. Like, Tom Maddow, he's in the back there. That guy wearing the white shirt in the back, that's my CEO. That's the CEO of Australian Hardcore right there. Last Ride Records. That's my boss.
That's good.
I'm joking. That's also one of my best friends. And like, you know, like, someone like that has been doing the work for so long, you know. A lot of people that play in hardcore bands aren't like, the easiest sometimes to deal with, because, you know.
No, Jeff, really? I'm just kidding. I know.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, in terms of like, it's not like an industry thing, but like, it's a thing that's built on passion. And I have so many friends that are so talented and so just so passionate about it that I'm like, I know that they've deserved a platform. Like, I learned, the Elliot that we record with is like this best audio engineer. Like, Rudzi, who's making all our movies, he's here on stage with us filming us today. Like, he's like the best director and filmographer that like I know. Like, so many people like that, like, we're passionate about because we know that they've got the skills, but maybe because we weren't in a place that was on a platform like America or something, we just didn't have the same kind of opportunity. And now, unexpectedly, that, like, for some reason, there's a bit of a spotlight on us. It's just like, as I said, the only reaction is like, yo, check out what everyone else is doing. Like, I'm just yelling my head off in the mic. Like, these guys are doing this crazy stuff. And that really comes back to the overall mission of, like, Speed now, which is just, like, we're trying to promote Australian hardcore and trying to create an industry for our friends.
Yeah.
You know, thank you. But, like, a hardcore band's life is only so finite, but the record label will still keep going. Their booking agency will keep going. Like, the zines, the video, all that, that's going to keep going, like, eternal. So we're just trying to use this to try and create this infrastructure in Australian hardcore that didn't necessarily exist, like, as we were kids, you know?
Of course. Well, yeah, and especially like you're talking about where it every, you know, 2 to 5 years, the scene kind of regenerates. You know, sometimes you get new kids. Sometimes it's like, well, hardcore just isn't popular right now. But I think broadly speaking, I mean, hardcore is as popular as it ever has been, like full stop.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And do you feel like you're basically just kind of, you know, riding this wave, obviously, as long as you can, like you're talking about, where it's like, you know, I don't know how long Speed is going to exist, but I'm going to ride this as long as I can.
We're riding it, but at the same time, like, it's already surpassed so much of what we wanted to do. Like, it's surpassed so much of what we wanted to do. And so now it's like, we thought it would be hard work to get people stoked on hardcore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for the longest time, we were kind of like, ashamed is not the right word, but it was like, you know, you meet like normies on the street or at work or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, you play in a band? Like, yeah, what's it like? It's like, oh, like, rock and roll. Like, don't say it's hardcore. Don't describe what it is exactly, because it's like a weird thing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, why the fuck are we playing to like 10 people on, you know, on a Friday night and they're beating the shit out of each other? It's like a weird thing to most people. But now it's like the coolest shit in the world. Like everyone thinks it's the coolest thing ever. I always knew this. Like Speed always knew this. We knew it was the coolest shit ever. Like, but now people are learning. And it just seems like it's been so easy because you go into lockdown and like hardcore is built on like the whole live thing. Like how do you promote hardcore culture when there's no shows? But then you come out of it and like 15, 16 months ago, we couldn't even leave our houses. And then now we just did Outbreak. Like what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah.
So the mission now and that wave that you're talking about is just like, we're just trying to make sure the culture doesn't get too diluted. So anyone who's listening to this, who's new to hardcore, like I hope you stay and I hope you like it. But I also want you to just remember, if you don't like it, that's totally fine. Cause it's not actually meant to be for everybody. Like it's just not like, yeah. It's okay. Like, but please come in and just educate yourself and learn about the culture, because it's given me my best fucking friends in the world. It's given me my family. It's given me every single thing I'm doing right now. Like, and I'm just so grateful for it. So
yeah,
like, I just hope that people can get that from hardcore. You know what I mean? That's what we're just trying to promote.
Submission statement. So how does your, talking about, you know, normies or civilians, I like to call them, how do your parent, like, you know, because obviously it's like you and your brother, and like now you're like globetrotting, your parents are just like, Jem, what the hell are you bringing your brother? Like, or are they, you know, I'm sure they're excited to a certain extent, but do they, I guess, have they supported your journey into hardcore?
My parents are like barely stereotypically Asian. Okay. Like I tell you something crazy about my dad. Like, my dad's actually a life coach now, which is like I know that's like sometimes has weird connotations, but he's a legend. And I remember when I was like 15 and he was trying to help me figure out what I want to do with my life. Like he come up the final exams and that in high school, and he was like, let's like, I don't know, he took me through some survey thing and we got to the end of it and he was like, Jem, like any dad would be telling you, go and do your math homework, but I'm going to tell you, go write some riffs. And like, straight up when I was 15.
The fact your dad said, go write some riffs.
Straight up. That's like no cap. Like he fully said that. And like, again, like this was never a thing. Like hardcore is not a thing where you're going to make a career out of it. At this stage, it's kind of going crazy and we're trying to ride it. But they're so supportive. And like, they've just always told us, like, find what you love in life and just find out how to do it to its full extent. And they're just so, I think they're so stoked that it's me and Aaron that are doing it on the journey. Shout out also Courtney, our younger sister, Courtney. Like she I love my baby sister too. She's not here with us, but she's at home, like, you know, watching.
Cheering you on, of course. Yeah, right.
But really, like, our home, our family, like our house back at home is like an open home. So many bands from around the world and around the country have just stayed at our house. And my parents' attitude has always been like, don't do some crazy shit on the streets, just do it at home where we can see you doing it. You know what I'm saying? So we always had that trust, and like, they don't know shit about hardcore, but like what their whole ethic was so hardcore, just open-minded and down. Like I've been coming home when I was like 14 with like motherfuckers with like tats all in their face and that. And they were down. You know what I mean? They're Asian, but they were down. Like, you know what I mean? It's not normal. So
right. No.
We feel extremely blessed. And like, I'm like, why do I have this life? Why was I given the confidence to like be on a stage like this when I see so many people that look like me that maybe didn't have that experience? So again, it just comes back to that thing. Like the reaction is just like, pass it on. Like just pass it on, because for some reason we were given this path where we can be here.
Yeah.
And I just think that route, if that was more accessible to more people, like we'd have even more amazing things happening. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely. Well, yeah, your parents gave you that confidence to be able to explore, as opposed to just saying like, I mean, cause most kids, like you've probably experienced with some of your friends, their parents are just like, dude, don't, like, what the hell are you doing? You're getting bad grades at school. You're hanging out with your friends, going to shows and stuff like that. But the fact they gave you that confidence, it's great.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're speaking of that, like, you know, your identity as an Australian and obviously Asian as well, you know, is at the center of the band, and like you make that very, very clear in a positive way, obviously. And then now you are, you know, seeing many of your peers represented, broadly speaking, with many other bands that, you know, have Asian American or Asians involved with it. I say Asian American because I'm American.
Yeah, not here.
Yeah, yeah. This is obviously happening kind of broadly across culture and pop culture in general, whether it's like movies and music and stuff like that. But why did you feel, beyond just the fact that you're obviously going to embrace your identity, why did you feel like it was important to, I guess, the scene that you were so, you know, outspoken about, like, oh yes, like we are, I mean, clearly people can see you're Asian, but like, why did you feel it was important to be like, oh yeah, we're double downing on this?
I think it's like, it was definitely intentional. Like, Like, Speed is not a political band. Like, I'm not an extremely political kind of person at all. Like, really, at the core of it, we're just trying to be us, you know? But we were pretty conscious that when we, like, made this demo that people listen to it, and you might hear it and might think it's an Australian, like, just an American band, like a normal kind of, you know what I mean? Like, normal setup of what a band looked like for the last 10, 15 years. So that's why we took a photo of us and put it on the front so that you could see what we look like. And on the topic of like this whole Asian thing, like it's been a journey for me. Like, I think I'm discovering it. We're discovering it as we're in the band. Like, I'm not trying to like raise a flag and be like, I'm fucking Asian and like Asian power. Like, it's not that for us. Yeah. I'm just trying to do us, but definitely like felt, I think the experience of like a first generation born Asian or ethnic person in the Western country is very unique. And it was something that like mentally I kind of just was like in between my whole life. And I think that a big part of that was like kind of like, you know, people call me like a banana. My friends call me a banana. Like, I don't take that in a racist way, but it's like yellow on the outside, white on the inside. Like, my parents fully brought us up to be fully assimilated in Australian culture. They're like, Australian swim, you got to fucking get swimming lessons from the age of three. Like, we don't want you to end up on Bondi Rescue. You know what I mean? Like, they fully, fully made sure that we did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So again, like, I find like, it's like, whoa, I feel confident to do this shit. I feel confident to speak out like this. But also it's kind of like when we're hanging out with a lot of Australian kids, it's like there's sometimes like this little bit of a disconnect. And then when we go back to Malaysia or hang out with Asians, there's also this other disconnect, because as soon as I open my mouth, they're like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? When we're in like any Asian like place. And Asian media is popping off, like 88 Rising and like Everything Everywhere All at Once and all that kind of shit's going crazy, which is sick, which is really sick. But for people like me and Aaron and Dennis, we're kind of like, it's awesome, but like, why don't I really like affiliate with it? Like, it's not like I don't really fully see me in that. And I realized through the experience of Speed is that like, and my friends is that like, we have such a unique experience. Like, we're first generation Asian Australian. We're not like from Malaysia and we're not like white from Australia. We're just our own unique experience. And I'm figuring out now that that's an experience that a lot of people share around the world who are our generation and our age. And the thing that I've learned to embrace through the experience of Speed is that like, that's a unique identity. And like, I don't have to look up to people from like this part of the world or whatever. It's like our own thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So with Speed, like that's one of the most rewarding experiences, that like, I'm just doing me. And I think that some people that hear and find out about us, they're like, oh, that's something different. I thought everyone in Australia was like Steve Irwin. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I again, we're not political. We're just doing us. And I just hope that like, some other like Asians or like other ethnic people, like, we can't represent everybody. We're like five dudes. We can't. But we're just trying to like open up a platform at least so that people can feel a little bit more empowered or accepted to do their own thing. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No, it's beautiful. I have to take you to task with some Australian food.
Let's go.
Because I know usually people, like when you're over here in the UK, you just make fun of beans and toast and stuff like that in English breakfast. But
which is fresh. English breakfast is fresh, by the way. I fuck with English breakfast.
Okay, see that? He's playing to the audience, guys. He doesn't really like... No, I'm just kidding.
The first thing we ate when we got off the plane was the English breakfast. And then the next morning we woke up, we got it again. Same joint. Mel's and Peckham. Mel's and Peckham.
You're like, run it back. Let's do it again. So with Australian food, Marmite. Like, do you...
Vegemite, yeah.
Right, Vegemite. Well, it's called Marmite too. Don't like get too mad
almost
at me.
Almost same thing, yeah.
I know, same thing. But that's terrible, right? Like, or do you love it? Like,
your taste buds work, bro. Like, it's
my taste buds do work well. And I'm
sorry, right? I'm joking.
No, please, no, roast me.
I think people need to understand how to eat it. It's definitely weird, but like, I don't know. Like, you eat like beef stock or like bonox or just, I don't know. It's just like salty. It's
okay.
Like salty yeast. Like, just when you spread it on toast, don't cover it in it. Use a little bit of amount. It's very concentrated. Get your toast. Make sure it's warm. Put the butter straight on or the margarine so that it melts. Then put the bit in the middle and then spread. It's a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Well, no, and that honestly, that's good, because people, I mean, this was maybe 10 years ago when I was in Australia, and like I was just like, because I mean, I'm vegan and it's vegan. And so I was like, oh, this is cool. And I was like, this tastes like licking a shoe. It's awful.
You have to eat it that way. And once you like accept in your mind, it's just salty and like umami. And it's very concentrated, so just have a little bit of it and spread it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've seen Americans eat it in the last 2 weeks where they have this whole thing and they're like, and it's like, what are you doing, bro? Like,
right.
Yeah. But like, we were with Tsunami.
Yep.
And like dudes from like Hands of God and that in Australia. and they fuck with the Vegemite. But that's because we showed them how to eat it properly. So
right.
If you eat it the right way, I think like.
So yeah. Basically what you're saying is everybody DM Speed in order to how to properly eat
Please
Vegemite.
Don't. Just go on YouTube. Like
the Vegemite ambassadors.
It's not. Yeah, it's easy. It's really easy.
That's true. It's true. Maybe actually you could just do like a, you know, 1 minute tutorial on that on YouTube. And that like that would probably be more popular in your music videos.
We fuck with alcohol and we fuck with food. So like those are the two things. And
you got to combine them now.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to. Have you guys seen Dennis? Like that guy is massive. Like yeah. He knows how to eat and lift. Like he is a, yeah.
He knows how to eat and riff. That's good.
Yeah. Like that. Eat, riff and lift.
Oh,
yeah,
riff. Yeah, and yeah, that's yeah. true. He is a professional
yeah.
lifter.
He is. He actually is.
So two last things. When you, obviously like working jobs and like just being like you were talking about, you know, normal hardcore kid, what were you doing from a sort of life perspective? Like your job and, you know, just kind of existing in Australia.
My job back at home is that I teach the classical flute. Like just teach kids like how to play the flute.
Wow.
Yeah.
That kind of broke my brain right there, Jem.
Like, yeah, it kind of does when I tell people that don't know me like through like classical music that I do that, like through hardcore though. And then when I tell people in class like that I know through like flute playing, I'm like, yeah, I sing in this hardcore band, they're like, what the fuck? Yeah. And I get that response from kind of both sides. I think that's like the duality of my like Asian Australian life.
So had you played, like I'm guessing you played flute from an early age and you kind of, okay.
Yeah.
Was it only flute or did you do clarinet or any of the other?
No, I'm just a flute specialist. Yes. I play the pipe.
I really like that. And I don't see why you obviously can't incorporate that in. I mean, dude, how sick would it be if you pulled out a flute on stage?
Everyone always says that.
I know.
Everyone always says that.
I mean, like, that you literally would be the first person ever in hardcore to do that.
Maybe.
I dare you to find me an example. Like, no one has done that. I mean, obviously, you could join a ska band immediately, but like...
Not for me.
I wasn't encouraging you to join a ska band.
I think, as I said, everyone says that. I think on that point, like, you know, it's just... Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but like, I think that's the funny thing about hardcore, you know? People see Speed and they're like, you're a gang, and you're like, you're so hard. And you're like, I'm like, bro, you got no fucking idea how soft I actually am, bro. Like... I straight up play hot cross buns every day with like just Chinese kids back at home, like 8 years, 9 years old. Like you have no idea, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, but again, I think that's the beauty of it. Like, I just feel that like I'm teaching. It's a passion for me. I love working with kids. It's like such a blessing. And then I get on stage and like no one in flute playing like knows that I do this. No one has any idea that I'm in this band. When I'm like, I'm going on tour, they're like, oh, he's going to play in an orchestra. Like he's going, they think that like, when I had to get out, like when we did exams, when I was at the conservatorium, it's like 10, 12 years ago, like you could not miss any exams, you know, in university. The only thing you could do is take professional leave. And that's because like you're studying flute performance or like clarinet performance or whatever, oboe. And you can take time away from the exams if you're going to go and play professionally, like with a group, you know, like a chamber ensemble or an orchestra. So I would go on tour with my other hardcore bands or whatever and be like, oh, I'm taking professional leave. They're like, yeah, no worries. Like, sick.
Oh,
they had no idea that I was just going and just like playing the dumbest music ever. Like the most primitive stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, but
I think, dude, you figured it out. That's incredible where you could be like, I'm going to go on tour and they assume that you're playing flute.
I think that it's just like a, I'm fucking Asian. I'm from Sydney. I play the flute and I play in a hardcore band. Like, it's like,
yeah.
There's no fucking rules here. Like, you can think about what your makeup is of like a tough hardcore guy or whatever. Like, I'm saying my piece and I'm channeling that emotion in the moment in my art. You know what I'm saying? And the gang that we have represents a certain like embodiment of what we think our gang is, but like, that's just it. You know what I mean? Like, so any preconceptions about like your imprint or mark that you can make on this like subculture, like, you just do you, like, okay? Like I just think everyone, like, if I can do this, like, again, it's just a G-up. The whole experience of Speed, I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, spent my whole life, like, having a preconception of what a hard dude was. Like, especially being Asian male, like, just, I had, just from doing this, it's just kind of just shattered everything and just really taught me more than anything, just, like, tell your story and just believe in it. Like, just do it, you know what I mean?
You're beautiful, Jem. I'm just going to go ahead and say
Ray, thank you, man. You're fucking beautiful, bro. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, everybody, give it up for Jem from Speed.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And like I said before, spread the word on social media and tag people that need to know. You can visit outbreak-fest.co.uk for more information about the 2024 edition of the festival. This podcast was executive produced by myself, Ray Harkins, Ollie Horner, Tom Barton, and Jordan Coupland. Intro and outro music are kindly provided by Cloud Kicker. The live episodes are produced by Michaela Boyd and Simone Traquantrini. And until next time, thanks for listening. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.